This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
How are you doing, Jan?
I'm great. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm also doing great, thank you. Quite excited to talk to you, though, because there's been one hell of a cyber attack on a private hospital group in South Africa, and I really did want to delve into this issue with you, Jan. How is it that South Africa is so unbelievably vulnerable to cyber attacks? And just my comment to that is my day job is in the insurance game. So I know when you try and get a client cyber cover, they basically, the insurers, want to know what your great-grandmother did, you know. They want to know how many times you audit an OSP. They want to know how you work remotely. They want to know everything and anything. So given that there's such weight put on how you operate in the cyber environment effectively and safely, how are these attacks happening?
Yes, so it's not just South Africa, unfortunately, but certainly South Africa is going to be quite vulnerable. And it's simply got to do with economics. If you can't afford to properly secure your IT systems, then you are going to be a target. And IT for the longest time was treated as a kind of, initially it was probably a grudge purchase. Then it was, you know, just a tool. And there's very little regard given for IT security, unfortunately. And so, you know, for the longest time as well, all those parts of IT, this perception probably changed a good 10, 15 years ago. But, you know, it was a toy that techies played with. Nowadays, it's definitely not a toy. It's critical infrastructure. And the defense of that infrastructure is incredibly important. You know, it's the same as probably properly securing your physical property as a business, and it's just not taken seriously until you get hit by one of these attacks, and then people's tunes change.
I find that really interesting because I would have thought that most boards of directors of South African companies would actually be taking this threat super seriously, and specifically a hospital, Jan, where you think about the confidential nature of the records that they're sitting on. I mean, they are sitting ducks for a cyber attack.
Right. And so there's going to be a level of trust. I mean, and also sort of reporting back up. And so it's going to be different from company to company. So in some big companies, I'm sure you've got IT people going, hey, listen. And in fact, I've been contacted by whistleblowers, who did some contract work for banks, for example, who said that these systems that we developed for this bank are insecure. I've highlighted it with them. Not the bank, but with, you know, my bosses, and they're just not willing to spend the money to properly secure the system because of the contract is over and there's no, you know, it's just not worth the cash to spend resources on it anymore. And so I know that happens where in big companies somebody sticks up their hand and goes, there's a problem, we need to fix it, and they say, this is not an immediate threat, and so we're not going to spend the money on it, or we'll spend very little money on it and fix it, you know, slowly over time. But slowly over time quickly becomes never, until something like this happens. And then, you know, you've got other companies where you might have IT departments that completely lowball it. They completely oversell their competence and set the bosses and the board at ease, that they've got everything under control and in hand until there's a big attack like this. And then
do we know anything about this particular attack?
This is the kind of attack, much like the Liberty attack that happened last year, where the disclosure came from the company itself. And so I must give kudos there. The company itself disclosed the attack, and so they got to break the news on their terms, is basically, you know, what I'm driving at here. And so usually, especially in the cases of ransomware, I'm speculating here. I'm not saying it was ransomware, but often in the case of ransomware, the companies play their cards close to their chest until, you know, an investigation has run its course. So it might be that the company is still hoping to nail the perpetrators, and so then they don't disclose a lot of information that could be potentially harmful to the case.
Jan, in the 3 minutes that we've got left, I'd like you just to very quickly address some of what you perceive to be the most interesting or important stories on mybroadband.co.za.
Sure. I got to do a pretty fun practical hands-on story that was published this morning regarding testing the electric field and power density, electric field strength and power density of basically cellular radiation. So there's a tower outside our offices that's like 100 meters away from our building. I can see it, you know, from our office. And so I took some photos of that to show people with a meter. Yes. And so we physically bought an RF EMF detector and to show people, you know, this is the signal strength that I detect here. And then this is the signal strength that I detect, or rather the electric field and power density strength of the radiation when I put this detector right next to the device that I'm testing. And so there's this principle in physics called the inverse square law, which says that the further away you are from the source of radiation, the less radiation you feel. It's something that I think we all intuitively understand, but we don't understand just how quickly the radiation drops off. So for every amount of distance that you double, the radiation quarters, right? Now, even that is difficult to wrap your head around. And so I got to do this experiment to illustrate just how quickly, like when you move away from a Wi-Fi router, for example, just a meter or a meter and a half, how quickly it becomes like you're almost not feeling the radiation from that router any more than you are just the ambient radiation around you.
That's comforting.
So, yeah. So that's part of the reason for the test, was to show people that I wanted to see for myself. Firstly, everything I tested was below global safety standards, well below global safety standards. And you know, as long as there's a reasonable distance between you and the source of radiation, there's honestly nothing to worry about. And even when I put the detector on top of a phone that I was testing, it was below safe levels. So yeah, I thought it was a fun test. It's maybe something we can dedicate more time to in a future segment, because I know people are extremely interested.
Very
and it's
much
a controversial
so.
Topic.
Yes.
When it comes to cell phone radiation, you know, like everybody's, there's a lot of, I say conflicting research, but there's a lot of noise on the internet at the moment, about this. Exactly. And not all of it is based in fact. There's a lot of panic being spread. It's the same kind of panic that I saw in the 1990s as a kid that I kind of grew up with, regarding high voltage power lines. And that was roundly proven, to be false. You know, or rather unwarranted. The panic was unwarranted. There is a danger when it comes to high voltage power lines, but you have to be so incredibly close to them, that very few people are and were affected.
It's 4 minutes to five, so we have to leave it there, Jan. But let's pick up that issue, because I agree with you. I think it is of enormous interest to so many people, this issue of radiation. And let's look at it in more depth at the same time next week.
Catch you next week. Thank you very much.